Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, great shalom or great peace have those who love his Torah or his instructions, and nothing will cause them to stumble. So with that said, we're going to go ahead and jump into our teaching for this week. This week, we are finishing the book of Exodus as we go through our Torah portions. And this week, the children of Israel actually start to put their hands to the work. We have been reading of how Yahweh has been bringing the children of Israel the instructions on how he would like them to build their temple. And in this week, we're going to see that they are actually going to begin the work. So let's go ahead and read our starting passage for this week, and that's going to be in Exodus chapter 35 and verse 30. Then Moses said to the people of Israel, "See, Yahweh has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, with intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood for work in every skilled craft. And he has inspired in him to teach, both him and Oliab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with skill to do every sort of work done by an engraver or by a designer or by an embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen, or by a weaver, by any sort of workman or skilled designer." So as we have been reading in our chapters before, we have been reading of how Yahweh has been giving them the specific design of how he wants his tabernacle to be built. Now, from this point on, we actually begin to read of how Israel is now building this tabernacle and how they follow the design that God gave them specifically to the T, exactly how he wants it to be built. And we see at the very end of our Torah portion that once they have it finished and it is built according to the way that God wanted it built, we see that the glory of God settles upon the tabernacle there where Israel was. Now remember, the tabernacle was going to be the dwelling place of God amongst his people. So upon the completion of the work, he comes and the glory shows the fact that he is now dwelling amongst his people there in the wilderness. And from that point on, we see that he leads them by fire by night and a cloud by day and by his presence. Basically, the presence of God is with the children of Israel and he is leading them along their journey. So what I want to talk about this week is how Israel came to a point where it was no longer a matter of hearing how God wanted the tabernacle to be built, but now it was time for them to actually do the work. And when it came time to do the work, we see here in this passage that God anointed certain men to be able to do the work and also anointed them to be able to teach others to be able to do the work, because the work was way too great for two men to complete. It was going to take all of Israel. But yet we see there are these two men who are anointed to do the work and to teach the work, or to teach them that were in Israel the work, the craftsmanship that was needed in order to complete the task that was at hand. So as we as believers today, we can think about, you know, we can sit here and we can listen to somebody teach God's word all day. We can read his word all day and learn what his word says. We can gain knowledge according to his word, but there comes a time where we actually need to begin to do the very thing that we're reading. We're doing the very thing that we're being taught, and we're putting our hand to the plow, or you could say we're building his tabernacle. You know, we are his dwelling place now. Each and every single believer is now the dwelling place of God. And we as individuals come together to make up the body of Messiah, or you could say we make up the larger dwelling place of God. So in building ourselves up and building each other up, we are actually building his tabernacle. That's how we put our hand to the plow where we are now. It's by going into the world, as Yeshua instructed us to do, making disciples in all nations. That's how we build his tabernacle today. So we should, as believers, have our hands to the plow and that work in making disciples in all nations. And he anoints us with his Holy Spirit in order to accomplish that task. We are to let our light shine. Yeshua said, let men see your good works so that they may praise your heavenly Father who is in heaven. So he anoints us also by his Spirit. He gives us the ability and the power to walk in obedience to his word. That way people can see our good works and praise our Father in heaven. Because we cannot do it upon our own strength. We cannot do it upon our own ability. If we are going to be a people who are able to teach the world around us what it means to walk in the love of God and to love people as we ought to love people, to walk in God's righteousness, we need to be filled with his Spirit. We need to be walking according to his Spirit. So there comes a time where we have to become a person who does his word, who no longer hears what his word says, who doesn't just go around saying, I have belief in Yeshua, and so all my sins are forgiven, and I can just live however I want to live, and I can do whatever I want to do. That is not real faith in Yeshua. There comes a time where our faith has to begin to do the very things that we are reading and are being taught. And that boils down to the fact that we are loving God and we are loving people. And that is all that his instructions, his law that he gave us is. It is a detailed instruction on how we love him and how we love people. We don't get to just sit around and decide how we're going to love people. He has told us, this is how you love people. He doesn't leave it up to our feelings and our emotions on how we choose to love our brother. Let's look at James chapter 1 and verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness, rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So here James is speaking and to the fellow believers. And the first thing he's telling them is put away all filthiness, all rampant wickedness. So this would basically mean put away all disobedience to God's word. Put away everything that is within your flesh that desires to do contrary to God's word. Put that away. Put away the things in your heart that desires to fit in with the world. Put away the things in your heart that desires to do as the world does. Die to those things. Remember, Yeshua said, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to be my disciple, you have to take up your cross daily. So daily we have to put our flesh down. We have to kill those desires that are in our heart, that desires to do the things of the world, to be like them, to just fit in instead of being set apart or being different from them. James tells us here to receive with meekness. That is to receive with a spirit of learning, with a spirit that's ready to be corrected. One who, when they hear something, will repent. When they hear that they're doing something incorrect or wrong, they're ready to correct their behavior that is not correct. They're not coming with a resistant heart, a heart that is resistant to what is being spoken, resistant to change, who is set and walking in their ways and in their desires. Meekness goes hand in hand with humility, or you could say hand in hand with repentance. To be in the spirit of meekness is to also walk in a spirit of repentance. So with this heart that is open to change and to repent, we are to receive what? the implanted word. That is his word hidden within our hearts. David prayed, "Let me hide your word within my heart that I might not sin against you." It's through the reading of his word and memorizing and meditating upon his word and hiding it within our hearts and within our minds that we are able to stand against the temptation and those desires when they come against us. We can put away all filthiness by having his word within our hearts. But we have to have a desire to want to walk in his word. It's not just having the knowledge of his word, but having the desire to walk out, to be obedient to that word that is hidden within our hearts. And this is a thing which is able to save our souls. So yes, we receive salvation through the blood of Yeshua when we believe that he died upon that cross for us, when he died and was buried and rose again on the third day. By that belief and believing in him, our sins are washed away. We are cleansed of all of our unrighteousness. We are justified. We are in right standing with God. But that faith has to now begin to produce obedience in our lives. And we need to walk out that faith. We need to begin to walk in the spirit of repentance. So it's not just a matter of believing. That belief now has to produce repentance in our lives. And if you are a person, ultimately at the end, if you are a person who possesses that belief in Yeshua, a true belief in Yeshua, which has caused you to bear fruits of repentance, to walk in obedience to his word, your soul is able to be saved in the end. Let's look at verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So here James is giving the instruction. Don't be one who just hears a word. Don't be one who just knows the word, but make sure you're doing that which you're reading. Make sure you're doing that which you know. Make sure you're doing that which you are being taught. If you don't, if you're a person who only hears but are not doing his word, his commandments, his instructions, his Torah, then you are just deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself as being one who is righteous. You think you're righteous, but you're not righteous. You think your soul will be saved, but your soul will not be saved. So we cannot say we are a hearer, or we cannot say we are a believer, but not be a doer. Now, I want to say this. I'm not saying that you have to perfectly do the word in order to obtain that salvation. Now, let's look at verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So what James is telling us here is he likens the person who hears a word to one who looks in a mirror. So the idea of what he's portraying here is when we hear God's word, when we read God's word, it penetrates into our hearts and into our souls, and it provides an image of who we are. Okay, so we get to see, are we righteous or are we unrighteous? It points out the things in our life that are not pleasing unto our Heavenly Father. It points out those things that we need to correct, those things that we need to repent of. It shows us the areas of disobedience in our lives where we are not being a doer of his word that we need to correct and become a doer of his word. So to the one who hears his word and does not do it is one who forgets what he saw when he looked in the mirror. He forgot the sin that he saw, that the word exposed in him. We want to be a person who, when they look at his word, when his word brings conviction, we are a person who does it. He says his law is the perfect law of liberty. It is to set us free. Those who walk in accordance to his word walk in liberty. See, our flesh and the devil tries to twist it and make it the other way. He tries to tell us that by walking in obedience to God's word is bondage. You're restricted. And that by walking in sin, doing whatever you want to do, now you're walking in liberty. But it is the exact opposite, because sin brings the curse. Sin brings bondage. You may feel like you are in liberty. You may be feeling the pleasures of sin for a season, but there will be bondage. There will be curse that follows because you're not doing his word. The one who walks in obedience to his word experiences the liberty and the joy there is in walking in obedience to his word. Yeshua tells us that there is fullness of joy when we walk in obedience to his word. And this scripture here tells us, to the one who is a doer, who acts, he is the one who is blessed in his doing. Remember, the Torah tells us there is a blessing that comes from those who walk in obedience. There is a curse that comes to those who walk in disobedience. And of course, the ultimate curse is death. So to the one who walks in disobedience, who does not possess a belief in Yeshua, that person, their ultimate curse, the ultimate end for them is going to be eternal death or eternal separation from God, being in the lake of fire or in hell. That is the ultimate curse that's going to come upon them. There's also other curses that can come. You know, you think about certain people and they live in certain type of sin lifestyle. They're in this lifestyles and you see they die early deaths. And they die these deaths as a result of the lifestyle they're living in because of the sin that they are living in. They rejected God's law. They rejected the thing that he gave them that would protect them, that preserve their life, that would bring blessing to them, that would bring long life unto them. They rejected that. They chose to walk in sin as well. And we see there are people who die a premature death because of those choices they make. That is a curse. You see the result of the curse of the sin in their life at those moments. Now let's look at verse 26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So James, first of all, in this talking about being a doer of God's word, he starts to talk about the tongue. See, the tongue, what we say and what we speak, reveals what is in our hearts. Okay? So our language, our speech will tell us if we are walking in his righteousness, if we are filled with his love, with love for other people, or if we are filled with evil, lustful, hateful, hurtful, envious, jealousy thoughts within our hearts. Because if hatred is in our hearts, hatred's going to spew from our mouth. If jealousy is in our hearts, jealousy is going to spew forth from our mouths. But if love is in our hearts, then kindness should spew from our mouths, gentleness, kind words towards others, the speaking of blessings over others instead of cursing towards others. So our tongues reveal what is in our hearts. That's why he says, if you do not bridle your tongue, your religion is worthless. Because your heart is worthless. Your heart is not clean. It's not a matter so much about what we are actually doing. It's a matter of what's going on in our hearts. To become a doer of his word, our hearts have to be cleansed. Our hearts have to be dealt with. They have to be circumcised. He has to take that old heart out, that desire to walk in the evil, sinful, fleshly desires of our past. He has to take that heart out that was resistant to his word, resistant to his law. He removes that old heart of stone out. He gives us a soft and tender heart that is receptive to his word, to his Holy Spirit, because it's his Holy Spirit that brings the conviction to our hearts as we read his word, as we are taught his word. It is his Holy Spirit that does the work, and he has to put that heart inside of us that is able to stand strong and to be able to have a desire to do his word. And so it's from that heart that wants to do his word that we can become a doer. So pay attention to what you say. Pay attention to what you talk about, because it reveals what is within your heart. Verse 27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So James is telling us, what is a pure and undefiled religion before God? What does it mean to be pure and undefiled before our God in heaven? He boils it down to two things: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. This basically is talking about loving people, but he is bringing it to the level of loving those who are in need. We need to be a people who love those and help those who are in need. And the second one, to keep oneself unstained from the world. Well, he has given us something that instructs us and tells us how to keep ourselves unstained from the world. And that is his Torah, or his instructions, the law which he gave Israel. It was a tool for them to use, for them to follow in, that they would be set apart or different from the world, or as James would say here, unstained from the world. By walking in obedience to his commands, to his word, we are unstained from the world. Let's look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. This is talking about the garments. So we want to be unstained, or we want to have pure, clean, white garments. So Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Now remember, what did Yeshua say? Yeshua said, I will come as a thief in the night. He gives us the parable of the 10 virgins, of being prepared, having our lamps burning and ready for when he returns. And this is speaking of us being a person who is complete in his sight. And to be complete in his sight, we need to be a people who is doing his word. We should have a heart inside of us that desires to walk completely in his ways. Now, we more than likely will not actually complete that task while we are in our bodies, because we are in a corrupted body. One day we will put on corruption. But because we are in a corrupted body, is not an excuse for us to purposefully and willfully continue to walk in disobedience to his word, to choose not to be a doer of his word, to resist repentance. What does he tell them here? He tells them to wake up. I have not found your works complete. So they are not complete before him. So what does he tell them? He says, remember what you have received. Remember what you have heard. And then the next word is keep it. So be a doer. Keep it. Do what you have heard and received. So that where you are incomplete, that where you have not kept it, what you have heard, repent. Keep it and repent. So repent where you are not doing his word. And if you do not wake up, if you do not change your behavior, change your ways, I will come as a thief and you will not know when I'm here, and I will come against you, or I will hold this against you because you chose willfully not to walk in obedience to my word. Verse 4, yet you have still a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. So he speaks here of how there are a few people, or there is a remnant. He always has a remnant of people on earth who are walking in his ways, who are unstained from the world. Remember, James said, pure religion is to be unstained from the world. Here we see in Revelations, these are people who have not soiled their garments. Or you could say they have not stained their garments by what? By walking in disobedience, by blending in with the world and being like the world instead of walking in obedience to God's word, which sets them apart. He says, they will walk with me in white, speaking that they are walking in cleanness and purity in his righteousness. Their garments are white because they are those who not only heard his word, they received his word and they kept it, or they obeyed it. So when we become a people who first of all put our belief in Yeshua, and by belief in Yeshua, we're cleansed of all of our sins, then we hear his word, we receive his word, and then we do his word, we are those whose garments are in white. We are dressed in white garments. Let's look at verse 5. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So here, Yeshua, in speaking to the Apostle John, he says, the one who conquers. So what does it mean to conquer? What is he talking about? The one who has conquered is the one who has heard his word and is doing his word. That is what makes you a conqueror. Our fight, our battle, our work on this earth, first of all and foremost, is the killing of our flesh. It is the taking up of our cross every single day and choosing and fighting to not just be a hearer of his word, but to be a doer of his word. It is a fight. It is a battle to walk in obedience to his word. We must conquer our flesh. But just as God anointed the two men to build the tabernacle, he has given us his spirit. He has anointed us so that we, through the help of his spirit, can conquer our sinful fleshly desires, so that we can repent from where we have heard his word but have not kept it, to be a people who hear his word and keep it, thus being one who is a conqueror, who is thus clothed in white garments. Or we are clothed in his righteousness. And it is to those, he says, that I will never blot his name out of the book of life. We will all stand before the judgment seat of the Almighty, right before God. And he is going to look at one thing. Is your name in the book of life? If your name is in the book of life, you will spend eternity with him in heaven. You will reign with him in the New Jerusalem. But if your name is not in the book of life, you will be cast into hell, where you will spend eternity in the lake of fire, separated from God, which is all that is good. So you will be separated from everything that is good, and you will be with Satan, who represents everything that is evil and bad. When you think about everything that is evil and bad in humanity and in the world that we live in right now, it is a result of Satan, not God. The evil we see in this world is Satan at work, but he is restrained. He is not able to work at his full because God has him restrained. You do not want to be in hell with Satan, who will be able to be unrestrained with those in hell with him. It's to those who are dressed in the white garments, who are doing his word, that he will confess before his Father and before his angels. We want to be able to stand there and say our name is in the book of life, and to have Yeshua confess us before his Father. We want to be found in him. So just as it was time for Israel to put their hand to the plow and to do the work, it's not enough just for us to know the instructions. It wasn't enough for Israel just to know how to build the tabernacle. They could have known how to build the tabernacle for an eternity, but if they never put their hand to work, to start the job and to work and to build, it never would have been built. The glory of God never would have came amongst the camp, to dwell in the middle of the camp of Israel, to be with them and to lead them into the promised land that he had chosen for them. You know, his spirit is leading and guiding us so we can find our promised land. But if we want his spirit dwelling in us and living in us, then we need to be like the children of Israel. We need to put our hands to the plow. We need to say, it is time for me to be a doer of his word, not one who just hears his word. So let's be a doer, not just in following the commands within our own lives, but let's not forget Yeshua's command unto us to go into all the world and to make disciples of all nations. Ultimately, if we love people, we have been commanded to love people. If we love people, we need to have a love for a lost and dying world out there who need to hear about the love of Yeshua. that he loves them and he accepts them right where they are. And all they need to do is put their faith and belief in him, to be willing to share his gospel, the share of his goodness, that they would repent and turn so that they can be a person to hear the message and not just be a hearer, but to also be given the chance to be a doer. Because they can't become a doer if they never hear. And they're never going to be in position to hear and to receive with conviction and become a doer unless first they put their belief in Yeshua. It is through belief in Yeshua that he circumcises our hearts and he deals with our hearts. And he gives us a heart that has a desire to do his word and to no longer walk in the desires of our flesh and to walk in what we're walking in. He opens our ears to see and to hear. He opens our eyes to see. He opens our ears to hear so that we can know and our spirit can know what James was talking about, that there is liberty in his word. There is liberty in walking in obedience to his word. There's joy and there is blessing that follow those who do his word. Well, hallelujah. We are so glad that you have joined us this week for this teaching. We will be back again next week with a teaching from next week's Torah portion, as we will be starting a new book. So we hope you join us next week, and shalom, y'all.